Now that the debt ceiling crisis has been resolved, the lingering question remains. Will the trillions of dollars in cash and cash-like instruments come off the sidelines and fuel a continued rally in stocks? Let's find out. Welcome to The Money Runner. I'm David Nelson. On Friday, a portion of that cash found its way into the market, pushing the S&P 500 up close to its highest levels in a year and just shy of what would be bull market territory. Missing from the winner's circle were the mega-cap stars that have done most of the heavy lifting year-to-date. In fact, coming into June, just three sectors were in positive territory. As you might expect, technology was at the top, and close behind was communications, both being driven by large-cap secular growth giants, including Apple, Microsoft, Nvidia, Alphabet, and Meta. Consumer discretionary was a distant third, led by Amazon and Tesla. The other nine sectors were in negative territory, forcing a statistical gap begging to be collapsed. At its worst, the spread between the best-performing sector technology and the worst-performer energy was close to 44%. Traders love this kind of a setup, but like most things in life, the timing of the trade is the difference between success and failure. I was asked on Bloomberg BNN a few months ago what I thought it would take to get a switch from the safety of mega-cap secular growth into other parts of the market. My answer today is the same as it was then. It would occur after the debt ceiling crisis was behind us, but to support the trade, we would need to see the economic backdrop was starting to improve. Rule number one. The first part of any change in market leadership is often violent, and Friday certainly lived up to that thesis. Long big, short small has been the rallying cry for traders most of the year. Friday turned that trade upside down as mid-caps and small-caps led the charge higher, both rocked up a solid 3.3 and 4.1% respectively. Even within the S&P 500, the shift was notable. Deep cyclicals like Caterpillar, plus 8.4%, and United Rentals, plus 6.6%, were huge large-cap winners. Energy and industrials provided the sector leadership, both up just shy of 3%. Even consumer staples managed to put in a decent showing. Technology limped into the close, up just over 0.5%. And communications barely made it into the green, held back by Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile on the heels of a Bloomberg report that Amazon was going to be offering mobile service to Prime members. Rule number two, if the change is real, it won't let you in. You will be forced to chase the shift in leadership. The next couple of days will tell us a lot about the durability of this trade and whether or not it was just a statistical reversion to the mean or something bigger. Stocks can always smell out good news well in advance of the fundamentals. However, we've had six false rallies, all of which felt like they had legs. This time, we've taken out a significant barrier, 4,200 in the S&P. Of course, it's just a number, but a level where we failed several times before. When we finally pushed over the wall, it wasn't surprising investors would feel a little better about risk assets. The elephant in the room, what could end this rally? The Fed continues to hang over the market like a wet blanket, working from a playbook written 50 years ago. Much of the data is backward-looking, including Friday's employment report, which shows conflicting data. The headline non-farm payrolls came in red hot, plus 339,000. Yet the household survey for unemployment ticked higher to 3.7%. Economists are going to be arguing over the data for the next couple of weeks, and I'm sure will be key factors at the Fed's upcoming meeting in June, which still looks to be a pause. However, July Fed Fund futures are currently indicating a good chance of another hike. In fact, some like former Secretary of Treasury Larry Summers suggest that if the Fed holds steady in June, they should hike by 50 basis points in July. Responding to a tweet by venture capitalist David Sachs disagreeing with Summers, Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk tweeted back, "That would be insane." While the Fed and the potential for a policy error is high on my list of market worries, at least they are a rational actor. If they make a mistake, I am confident they will eventually reverse course. That isn't true for China, which has a history of doubling down on bad policy. Economic and foreign policy challenges are well understood, but of course today China is viewed as an increasing military threat. Again on Saturday, U.S. and Chinese naval ships clashed as an American destroyer passed through the Taiwan Strait. Company after company have recognized that both China and the United States are in the initial stages of decoupling. Perhaps it was already destined, but COVID triggered a worldwide response, recognizing that a nation's supply chains are a national security imperative and that China was no longer a reliable partner. Even technology giants like Apple, long committed to China as a manufacturing hub, have started the lengthy process of shifting some of their manufacturing footprint to other parts of the world. Even a casual observer couldn't help but notice that the ending of zero COVID lockdowns has failed to truly jumpstart their economy. Some research houses came into the year bullish on China, suggesting it would be an economic winner on the heels of its reopening. China faces structural headwinds that have to be a concern for Xi and his government. Goldman points out in a recent note, softening momentum of some high-frequency indicators, U.S.-China tensions, high youth unemployment, high leverage, and aging demographics as contributing factors to the recent weakness. All of the above are a concern, but it may be worse than we think. Last week, The Wall Street Journal reported that a Chinese data provider, Wind Information, is slowly going dark. Used by many financial and media institutions to gauge the health of the Chinese economy, they're now getting messages that now restricted data is unavailable. The journal also reports a Wind spokesperson said the company is legally obligated to understand the purpose of the overseas data receiver's use of such data. Admittedly, the U.S. is taking a hard line on China, and maybe this is quid pro quo. Regardless, what's important for investors is that China is still the second largest economy on the planet. A continued slowdown in China will translate into slower global growth, adding another brick in the wall of worry. All of us at The Money Runner hope you'll hit subscribe and become part of the family. And don't forget, if you'd like to appear in a Money Runner podcast, you can now record a video question on our website, themoneyrunner.us. As always, thanks for joining. I'm David Nelson.